Heavenly Father, through my weak human words, give us grace to hear your true and living word. Amen. Welcome. We have gathered today for what is perhaps one of the most joyous occasions for a family and a community can celebrate. We are welcoming a new baby into our community, a baptism and the naming of a beautiful child. Many cultures and traditions throughout our wonderful and diverse world, a name is a special part of a person, a part of a person's essence and being. In preparing for today's sermon, I realized that the act of naming something or someone and the act of making choices are two powerful themes that I kept returning to and could not deny. My homiletics instructor would say, it is never a good idea to have two themes in one sermon. However, both topics compelled me to break from proper homiletic protocol. And since this is Holy Comforter, breaking from protocol is not such a bad thing. Here's the first theme of my sermon. The scriptures today were gloomy and depressing. You have Jeremiah's lamentations for Jerusalem. You have Timothy's instructions on worship. And the parable of the shrewd manager are not the type of stories you really want to hear at a baptism. So I asked our rector if I could go to the alternative readings for a baptism, and she said no. So in Luke today, we hear the biblical equivalent of an executive building a golden parachute for himself at the end of his career. That's what our dishonest manager in today's gospel was doing. He knew his career was over. He knew his days as a steward were numbered. He did not want to do manual labor, and God forbid he beg like a peasant. These options were out of the question for him. So he thought and thought, what am I going to do? And he said, aha, I have it. He decided to reduce the amount of money and goods that his employer's debtor owed his boss in hopes that he would gain favor with them when he no longer was employed. He was trying to buy favor with his boss's money. Unbelievably, the master commends this dishonest manager for his shrewdness. We hear this morning, and I tell you, make friends for yourself by means of unrighteous wealth, for that when it fails, they may receive you into eternal dwelling. I can imagine the disciples going, what did Jesus just say? My friends, make friends for yourself by means of unrighteous wealth? There's just no way. It's hard to believe, but that's what Jesus is saying. He tells us that this behavior is to be rewarded. The story from Luke comes immediately after the parable of the prodigal son. Now, you wouldn't imagine it, but there are a lot of similarities between these two parables. Jesus is trying to make a point to his followers. Both the steward and the son are very selfish. Both the steward and the son are in big trouble. The son has squandered away his inheritance, and he's penniless. Squandered it on earthly pleasures. The manager is caught stealing from his employer, and I assume he has also squandered all of his plunder. Both the steward and the son have selfishly figured out a way to get out of their situation. Selfishness drove the son to return home to his father, and the manager selfishly was able to think his way out of his situation. Both stumbled into grace and forgiveness. Forgiveness that was waiting for them all the time. Both the steward and the son had difficult choices to make. It is hard to believe, but Jesus tells us that this behavior is to be rewarded. Well, not exactly. I think what Jesus is saying is to his disciples and to us today that we need to be shrewd in arranging all the aspects of our lives so that we may delight in his will and walk in his way to the glory of his name. that if we choose to change the path we're on, there is no time like right now. Jesus must have been desperate for his disciples to fully commit to their urgent call because time was running out for Jesus and he knew it. It's crazy as it seems, but this example is good news for us. It reminds us that sometimes in our life we are called to make a radical reordering of our life's priorities. At those times we are faced with difficult choices. It takes all of our shrewdness that we can muster. Luke warns us not to serve two masters. If I look at my life and where I am today in my ministry, I would say that there has been a radical reordering of my life's priorities, and that has transformed me. I wish I only had two masters. We all have many, many masters to serve: our families, our employer, our homes, our friends, our ministries, our health, our God, and ourselves. Keeping your life in balance takes all of the shrewdness, prayer, discernment that you can muster, but ultimately, the choices we make are ours. The choices we make can, with grace of God, be transformative. However, remember this, that not making a decision or delaying is also a choice. Okay, enough with the bad theme. Now the good one. What is in a name? That common cliche to many, but nevertheless, your name and your reputation. Your name can confer affluence and privilege. Naming a child confers an individuality upon that person. In the West, the name of your name and your identity can easily be changed. You can reinvent yourself. You can change your identity like changing a hat. However, in the East, a name carries much more significance. In fact, in the Hebrew word Shem, or the Greek word Anmona, appears in the Bible over 1,000 times. That fact alone shows the significance of a name. In the Jewish tradition, a child is given his or her name, but they are also given a Hebrew name. Thus, through this tradition, we recognize the child's individuality, but we also put her within her Jewish community and her family. This is a great power and a responsibility, the naming of someone or something. Astronomers and scientists name their new discoveries. The importance of a person's name is noted many times throughout the Old and the New Testament. In Exodus and 1 Kings, naming something indicates one's ownership of that person or that thing. In Genesis and in 2 Samuel, forgetting God's name is equivalent to departing from God's presence. Prophets and messengers all are acting in someone's name. Jesus being presented to the temple is part of his naming ceremony. The examples can go on and on. A name is far more than a simple identifier. It is more like a road sign at a crossroads. It points in three directions. The primary function of a name is to identify a particular person, man or woman. It bestows individuality upon that person. However, names can also recall the past. If you're named after a relative, it can bestow certain expectations upon you based on the memories of that person. Can you imagine the expectations a young boy named Moses or Abraham might have? Names may also predict the future, express hope, predict a destiny. A name can have many multiple messages. Through our tradition, a christening is the giving of a Christian name at baptism as a sign of admission to the Christian church. In the Jewish tradition, the naming of a child with his or her Jewish name, we prepare them to carry on their culture and bless them on their way. Soon the words, "I baptize you, Elizabeth Hunter, in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit," will be said, and a cross will be drawn on her forehead, marking her as one of God's children. Her Hebrew name will be another sign of her joining her family. Micah and Courtney are following, at least in part, the ancient Jewish custom. They are marking the beginning of their commitment to raise her in the Jewish traditions and customs. Shortly, we all will be asked to begin our commitment to her in the baptismal covenant. Not only are we asked to choose for her, but we also are asked to choose for ourselves to renew that covenant. When we say these words, I want you to listen carefully during the covenant. The choices that you're being asked to make. Will you continue in the apostles' teachings and fellowship, in the breaking of the bread and in prayer? Will you preserve to resist evil in whatever you fall into sin, repent and return to the Lord? Will you proclaim the word by example, the good news of God in Christ? Will you seek to serve Christ in all persons, loving your neighbor as yourself? And will you strive for justice and peace among all people and respect the dignity of every human being? All these questions represent choices that we are asked to make every day in our life. Our Jewish and Christian traditions and customs are very, very similar. Both traditions name this beautiful child as one of God's children. Both mark a joyous and a new beginning in her journey, hopefully on a lifetime of good and wise choices. Perhaps it is also a new beginning for all of us, where we shrewdly rearrange our priorities in our lives. Amen.